everyone, and welcome back to another fun-filled, action-packed episode of 1HMPS Retro. I'm your host of the most, Andy, a.k.a. The Real Local Maniac. And with me today is...
And I'm Glenn, 83100.
You know what I forgot to mention there, Glenn, when I was doing the intro? I completely forgot to mention we have been nominated for the European Podcast Awards.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, that is absolutely amazing. So we're up against about another 1,000 podcasts. So guys, go to the site and vote for us, but a little bit more on that next time. So dude, what have you been up to since last time?
Well, what I've been up to since last time, it's been a great big move. My brother's moved out of his flat and he's come home.
Hey.
So this time we have to bring all his stuff back here. I even have to drive a big white van. And we went to McDonald's the other day.
Right.
You know, in the big white van. I packed it up perfectly. And my brother said, right, I drive it back to the house.
Yeah.
And he got in the van and I went, Scott, banged on the van. You're going to hit that car.
And did he?
No, I stopped him hitting
the
car.
Luckily. Wow.
Luckily, it was a rented van as well.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's been a big move this month. And I also been playing, I think, is it called L.A. Noir?
L.A. Noir, yeah, on the Xbox 360 or the PS3, which one?
PS3.
So, yeah, that game's made by Rockstar, I believe, makers of GTA and Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, but I have to be honest, I don't think it's as good as Red Dead Redemption and GTA 4. Well, I have not played it enough yet to really comment on it yet. I've only really just started it.
I think from what I've heard from other podcasts, it's one of those games, Glenn, that you need to stick at it, do a few of the missions first before you really get into it. Because a lot of people were expecting that game to be GTA or Red Dead Redemption, but it's slightly different. You have to do your missions rather than sort of go around free roam everywhere.
You can't go around causing mayhem. You've got to look at every clue. You've got to look very carefully at everything, from a pencil case to guns to glasses case. You have to get all the clues because you can arrest the wrong person.
I have been tempted to get it, Glenn, but the thing is with me, I just lack patience. And because I'm always so busy with work, with family, and sort of editing the podcast, I think a game like this would involve so much of my time. I'll probably have to get it when I've got a week or two off, but I can't imagine myself playing it, you know, this moment in time. The other thing I was going to say to you, buddy, last week you recorded with Mel, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, recorded with Mel. I tell you, I was a little bit nervous because it was my first time without Andy.
Wait, and with me?
Yeah, well, and,
but you did amazing, mate.
Oh, thank you very much, Andy. I very appreciate that.
No, honestly, I'll tell you what, after listening to that podcast, I found it absolutely hilarious. You and Mel just like had me in stitches throughout. It was a bit tough editing the podcast certain reasons, but the outtakes, again, they were unbelievable. Some of the things that you and Mel kept saying, which you'd sort of like mess up a little bit, and you go, I think Andy will have to edit that one out. And there was like about six of those. I think Andy's going to have to edit that out. And poor old Andy had to edit all that out.
And another thing is, because I'm trying to keep to a time schedule, because when you do these podcasts, you have to keep to a time schedule.
Yeah.
And I said, Mel, we've got like 15 minutes left and we've done everything.
Yeah.
What should we talk about now, Andy?
So yeah, I got a text message saying, guys, we're a short 15 minutes, and that's the reason why you guys have the top arcade section there, which I had to sort of put in the middle somewhere. But I tell you what, guys, honestly, you guys both worked really, really well together. I'm going to have to get you guys on a podcast together at the same time, because you guys were absolutely hilarious. It's probably one of the best podcasts. I'd probably put it in the best three podcasts that we've actually done so far. That's how hilarious I found it.
You're making me blush.
I'm trying to think. What else have I been up to, mates? Well, I've been doing a few little things behind the scenes. I've got loads of videos and things planned. I'm trying to organise a few guests for the podcast. So we've got loads of little things planned upcoming. Oh, before I forget as well, towards the end of the podcast, we've got the competition. This will be the first competition that we've got here on 1HMPS Retro. And this competition, basically, you can win an actual signed photograph, an A4 size photograph of the Oliver twins.
Oh, imagine that in a frame in your room.
Yep, exactly. Now, there are a few rules. I'll quickly mention the rules now before we move on to our next section. Basically, the rules are the host of the podcast cannot enter, but aww, everyone else can enter the competition. People from the site, people from other sites, people from YouTube, anyone can enter it. And yeah, I'll tell you a little bit more about the competition towards the end of the show.
So stay tuned, everybody, to win the photograph of the Oliver twins.
Let's move on to our next section, Glenn. And what is our next section?
The next section is the game review.
Right, so mate, what is your first game that you're going to talk to me about then?
Well, my first game I'm going to review today is a game we're probably not a lot of people probably heard of on the Super Nintendo, and it was really good use of the FX chip. It's Stunt Racer FX on the Super Nintendo.
Now, I've heard of it, but I haven't played it. Tell us a little bit more about it, please, mate.
Well, I actually got Stunt Racer FX after finding out that Rise of the Robots was a very bad game.
Right.
So I went back into the shop and exchanged it, and I got Stunt Racer FX. That was such a better game. Now, what you have to do, you get a choice of these cars. You have a small little car. You have a small little yellow car. And then you have like a little Formula One type of car. And then you have a big monster truck.
Mm-hmm.
And if you complete all the levels, you eventually can get a motorbike. Now, that is a quick thing. Now, it's basically like Mario Kart, but in 3D kind of thing. You're not driving carts. It's mm-hmm. a racing game. So you've got to race around the course and get to the finish first to continue along the courses.
Right.
And further down the course, there's also a bonus stage
mm-hmm.
where you drive this big lorry and you have to go through as many hoops as you can to get more time. And the more time you get, I think if I remembered, it puts more time on the race, on
right.
the next race. I don't know about that, but I think that what happens.
Now, I actually remember seeing this, Glenn, in some of the magazines, and it looks really good. I mean, what are the graphics like? You know, because you said the 3D, it used the FX chip. How did that turn out then?
Well, for the Super Nintendo, it was really good graphics. So remember, the Super Nintendo's a 16-bit system, so mm-hmm. don't expect PlayStation quality, because it just isn't.
Mm.
But it is very blocky, but the frame rate's reasonable. It must run around about 10 to 15 frames a second. Just to say that's a Super Nintendo, that's very good.
Okay, then. So, I mean, was it like a serious style of racing game? Or was it sort of more like comedy-style racing thing like Mario Kart was?
It was very cartoony. The cars even
right.
had eyes.
Oh,
these little
wow.
eyes looking around in the little cars while they go around the track. Yeah, and there was all sorts of courses. Like, there's a city course. There's one you go through a country road. There's another one you go down through a canyon, and you've got to be careful on the second lap because a rock suddenly comes down on top of your car.
Wow. I tell you what, I'm going to have to actually sort of like dig out that game and give it a go because, you know, I've never actually played it. I've heard of it. I've seen graphics of it in the old magazines. I've always wanted to play it, but for some bizarre reason, I've never actually got around to playing it. Maybe it's just lack of time, but it does sound interesting, though. I mean, how does it compare, like, graphic-wise to... Remember, didn't Virtual Racing come out on the Sega Mega Drive? Was it graphically better than that?
About the same, I will say, but mm-hmm. I will not compare Virtual Racing to Stunt Racer FX because they're like different games.
Right.
Virtual Racer is a very serious racing game.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sega makes serious racing games. Nintendo's a bit more cartoony,
right.
more kiddish. Good kiddish, but it is definitely a lot more cartoony.
So how did the game actually control then? Did you just have like a left, right, and it accelerate? Did you have any boost buttons or any jump buttons or anything like that yeah. added to the gameplay?
Yes, it does have a boost button. You have to go around the lap. And when you go around the lap, I think you get more boost.
Right, okay.
So you can't use all your boost at once.
Yeah.
Because you run out of boost.
Mm-hmm.
But the controls, it's okay. The controls might be slightly a bit because you come to a corner and it's not the best turn.
Right.
You know, it's the controls could have done better, slightly improving, but that's only a small fault in the game. Overall, it was a really good game.
You know what? I think I'm definitely going to have to check that game out because I like my racing car games. I've been playing games like Daytona, you know, after we went for the retro meetup. I've been playing games like Outrun. And I always thought, you know, apart from F-Zero and Mario Kart, there was lack of racing games on the Super Nintendo. So I think I'm definitely going to have to give this one a go. Did you actually ever finish it, Glenn?
I actually finished it, yes. I think there's like four or five courses. I'm trying to remember now. There's like four or five courses in the game.
Who was this game actually made by, do you know?
Oh, Nintendo. Because right
Right.
at the start of the game, it goes, Nintendo. It's just like a car horn at the beginning. That's a bad impression of a
That
car.
sounded
But
more like a parrot, actually.
it goes, the intro music's really good. I can't do that because it's too many tunes.
So what's your second game that you want to tell us about then, Glenn?
Well, my second game is probably a game that more people heard of. It was released on all sorts of systems like the Amiga, Super Nintendo, even the Atari Jaguar.
Wow,
Cannon
okay.
Fodder.
Right, so who was this game made by and what sort of game was it, Glenn?
I remember this game was made by Sensible Software, if I remembered. I don't count me on that one.
What sort of game was it then, Glenn? Why did you like this game so much?
Well, Cannon Fodder is a game that was based off World War, I think World War One. And what happens is that you have these army men, and you've got to go around a stage and kill loads of enemies that's on your map.
Right.
Now, these enemies are cheeky. They come out of everywhere and they might get one cheeky shot at your soldiers, and your soldiers go, "Arr!" and fall down.
But you know what? You forgot to mention there, Glenn. This game isn't sort of like a proper standard shooter, but like an arcade game like Commando. It's more of like a point and click sort of game, isn't
It
it?
was a point and click game. Yes, you're right there, Andy. Because you've got to go around this map and find your enemies and kill them. Now, I think you have a range of weapons. You have like a gun, you have grenades. And I don't think you have any other weapons, if I remember. Do you remember that they had any other weapons, Andy?
I've actually only ever played this game on the Super Nintendo, and I played that on the Melsium because I think I've played that only on emulation. And on emulation, you've got an option to actually be able to use the mouse, and it plays pretty good like that. The version you played, what was it, on the Jaguar or the Amiga?
Oh, I played it on the Amiga. And the intro music was really, really good on the
What
Amiga.
was the intro music like then? I mean, why did it appeal to you?
Oh, it appealed to me. I actually like the first and second game intro, but it was really, really good how they did the music. And I think it showed I think it was the team that made the game. But they weren't just dressed in the ordinary clothes, they were dressed in like army gear. So it shows a picture of the team people who made the game, but they're dressed in army gear, and it goes through each team and what they're responsible for. And it was really good how they did that.
That's a nice little touch, actually. So, you know, gives a bit of a shout out to the programmers, so people would know who they were. And it's a nice touch that them dressed up in army gear and stuff like that.
Now, this didn't happen on a Cannon Fodder 1, but it did happen on Cannon Fodder 2 on Amiga. Do you remember those posters that says, "We want you to join the army"?
Oh, yeah.
Well, on the Amiga version, on the second Cannon Fodder, it came up and went, "I want your disc too." It's just been point that made me laugh that.
So, was this another game, Glenn, that you managed to finish or you didn't manage to finish?
Oh God, it's impossible to finish because you
Really?
only have a certain amount of army men. And when you complete each stage, you get more recruits. Now, if you kill all your recruits, that's it, game over.
I don't know if I'm right, Glenn, but you might be able to correct me on this. The people that made this game are the same people that made Sensible Soccer, and what they did is use the same sort of sprites, and they incorporated those sprites into this army type game. Is that right or wrong?
Well, I don't know about that, but in the back of my head, I remember Sensible Software coming up at the end of the intro. You're probably right.
Wow, okay. So is this a game that you'd like to sort of see come out on the Xbox 360 or on XBLA?
I like it to come out on the Xbox 360, but don't make it 3D.
Oh, yeah, no. But if it stays true to its 2D format, basically,
it's
I think it would work.
It's got to stay true to... Probably tidy up the sprites and put high-resolution graphics in. But don't put it in 3D, because they've done that with a lot of games in the past, and it was a disaster.
You know, the funny thing is, Glenn, with this game is, I'm not normally a fan of these sort of point-and-click games, but this just had an appeal because it was cartoony. Again, it was violent as well because you get to kill lots of people, but I really enjoyed it. And you had to use a bit of strategy to actually progress so all your soldiers didn't get killed. You know, that's why I liked it.
I think it was a nice touch. When you complete a stage, I think a stage of a certain amount of levels, it comes up, people lost in service. And it comes down with people's names that they lost in service.
That I remember that. That was really good touch, yeah.
Well, one last thing I like to say is that Sensible Software did an excellent job on the Amiga version.
Mm-hmm.
But I have played the Jaguar version, but it's just a copy.
So they didn't use the extra power that Jaguar actually had?
But on the Amiga version, you could tell they actually put the work into making the game.
Mm-hmm.
That deserves a big clap.
Well, we'll give them a round of applause then, just for that then, Glenn. Alright then, matey, we'll move on to my next game. Now, the first game I want to talk about is Super Castlevania. Castlevania 4 was a game that came out on the Super Nintendo, and it was the fourth game in the series of the Castlevania games. Now, I never really liked the Castlevania games on the NES or the NES. I always thought they were a bit too basic. The graphics never, you know, they never sort of like grabbed me. And Super Castlevania 4 was one of the first games that I got on my Super Nintendo. Because at the time, the Super Nintendo was like a huge leap from the 8-bit systems. And the reason why I got myself a Super Nintendo was because of Mode 7. Now, this game led me into a full sense of security because I just really thought, this game looks a bit average. But as you started progressing through the game, the graphics just jumped at you and wowed you.
Now, I think who made this game, Andy?
Oh, this game's made by Konami? How do you say it? Well, it's made by that Japanese company. It came out in 1991. And basically, it's like a scrolling platform whip-em-up. You play Simon Belmont, and basically Dracula's come into the castle again. He's evil. You are a vampire hunter, and you've got to try and beat him, basically. As you progress through the levels, Glenn, the graphics just improve. The sound gets creepier. And by the time you get halfway through the game, the whole rooms start rotating. You get, like, chandeliers, huge things that just start moving left and right. There's even a bit, Glenn, where you're on this ledge and you have to use your whip and you're holding onto this ledge and the actual whole room rotates round. And by that point, Glenn, I had never seen anything like that on a Super Nintendo before.
The Super Nintendo had like a Mode 7 that at the time, the Mega Drive never had Mode 7. I think there was a way to get around it, but it was a way to make it look like 3D, but it wasn't quite 3D.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I liked it for this sort of Mode 7 and this game, Glenn, was because Mode 7 a lot of the time was used in games like F-Zero, you know, in racing games. And Mario Kart. But in this, you know, it just did things like in the background that you weren't expecting, you know, like things rotating, turning in the background, huge sprites moving. And that's the other thing as well. You had some epic boss battles, Glenn. Some of the bosses were just huge. Some of the bosses were amazing. But this game had it all. It was an amazing platform experience that really just improved everything that was the 8-bit Castlevania games and took it to a whole new level. It was just superb. I mean, there's one level when you're in the caves, Glenn, and you fight against this big rock monster, like a golem type thing, and you whip him. And every time you whip him, he sort of like turns into smaller rock monsters, and then you hit them again and they get even smaller until they all disappear. And there's so many little touches like that, Glenn. But I think this is probably one of the best sounding games as well on Super Nintendo, Glenn. It's a beautiful game. And I know you said earlier that you hadn't played it, Glenn. And I'm really surprised.
I have not played this game, though. Well, like, you haven't played Stunt Racer FX. I haven't managed to play Castlevania.
Honestly,
now,
mate, I think you.
About Castlevania, what was your worst enemy? Which enemy you think, oh God, I hate fighting these enemies, I hate them?
To be honest with you, I would say none of them, because all the characters are interesting. You get your standard sort of like bats, you get your standard zombies and skeletons.
Do you get one that's hard to kill?
Yeah, some of them are hard to kill, like the mid-level bosses and the actual bosses. Some of the bosses are just will drive you insane, Glenn, absolutely insane. But I think it's just, it really tests your skill as a game player, and you always get that little bit further all the time, Glenn.
Sounds like I should give that game a try. I heard that Castlevania 2 wasn't very good. All of a sudden, it comes up saying it's dark.
Mm.
And
yeah.
It's light again.
Yeah, that was because it tried to do something different, but I don't think it worked on the 8-bit NES. But I think Castlevania, Super Castlevania 4, is my third favourite Castlevania game ever. My favourite one has to be Symphony of the Night, but I'll talk more about that in another podcast, mate. So, yeah, let's make a few little promises, Glenn. I play Stunt Racer FX, and then you play Castlevania, and next time we podcast together, we'll sort of see what...
about it.
Exactly, we'll see what we actually thought of that game. Right, so the next game I want to talk about, Glenn, is Super Mario Land.
Oh, Super Mario Land, I remember. Was this on the Game Boy?
It was. I remember back in, I think, 1990, I first got my Game Boy. It came free with Tetris. I think I ordered it from the catalogue. And the other game that I had to get, because it was Mario, was Super Mario Land. And I tell you what, it's probably still one of my greatest Mario games ever. It's not the most toughest game. It's easy to fly through it, but it's an experience, Glenn. From the get-go, from the moment you put the cartridge in, and you get that amazing music, and it's just...
It did have good music.
It did, and I think that music even got remixed by some sort of DJ and got released in the album charts back in the day as well.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but did it go... Am I wrong?
That is the one, mate. That is the one.
I remember that.
That was excellently done by you, Glenn. Absolutely fantastically done.
Yeah, that was a right tune. Especially to say the Game Boys had a limited sound. Because a lot of Game Boy music wasn't brilliant, but some of it was good. It depends how they mixed it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all the tracks in that particular game, Glenn, are absolutely fantastic and atmospheric. I mean, the graphics back then, they did their job really well. When you look at them now, they're small but basic, but you can tell exactly what's going on. I mean, there was other Super Mario games like Super Mario Land 2 and Super Mario Land 3, but what I didn't like about those games were the sprites were so big, it was kind of hard to sort of see what was ahead of you, and it was harder to get killed. But in Super Mario Land, you had the whole screen, so it was easy to navigate. And it played very similar to Super Mario Brothers, well, Super Mario's on the NES, but it did have a few differences, like the Fire Flower, for example, Glenn.
Yeah.
You know, if you get the Fire Flower, you can shoot your fireballs, but it can collect coins. So say, for example... Yeah, so it's loads of little things like that. And once again, you had to sort of jump from platform to platform, and you had to rescue Daisy. But this time, it wasn't Bowser who had kidnapped...
Daisy?
Yeah,
you
it was
Princess Peach.
No, this is Daisy.
Daisy. Oh,
yeah,
right.
This Daisy. They're different, actually. There's Daisy and Peach. They're different princesses.
Oh yeah, I remember now.
He's got two on the go, Mario. He's a bit of a womanizer. He is. But yeah, this time it's not Bowser that kidnaps Daisy. It's an alien called Tatanga.
Oh right.
And I think, if I remember right, Tatanga basically falls in love, or he wants to marry Daisy, so he kidnaps her. And it's not like a typical platforming game, Glenn, as well. It has got some other amazing levels. It's got like a little submarine level as well.
That's what I love about Nintendo games. They like with Mario Brothers 3 and other Mario games, it's not just Mario running across the levels. He does different stuff as well, like go underneath water and he gets ability to... go in a frog suit, stuff like that. And I think Nintendo's been very creative when it comes to these type of games.
I think they were really creative of what they were working at the time, because I think at the time when this game did come out, the Game Boy was just starting out, so they didn't really know what to do with the graphics. But I mean, the submarine level, Glenn, it's basically a shoot 'em up level where basically you swim around the water, you shoot missiles at the fish, skeleton fish, and it's really well executed. They've even got like a flying level as well, where you're flying like a little aeroplane. So these little levels break up the main game quite a lot, so it's really well done. Have you actually ever played this, Glenn?
I actually played it, but I played it years ago. I think I played it when I was about 7 years old. I think I played it on a friend's Game Boy. That's why I
Right.
remember the game very well. Well, remember somewhat well.
Did you ever finish it?
I never finished it. No, I actually never finished this game, but I would have loved to finish it.
I tell you what,
Because it was a really good game.
It's really easy, Glenn. It's really easy. I mean, I used to finish it all the time when I was younger. And I say recently, a few months ago, I got myself a Game Boy from eBay,
All right.
and I got Super Mario Land. And the game's just as easy to finish, but I enjoyed it, and it brought back all my childhood memories. I think we should round that section up, but we are going to segue onto the next topic. And what is our next section, Glenn?
Well, it's going to be my console section, console of the month.
Is our console of the month then?
Well, it's kind of like a handheld, because we've just been talking about the system, we're talking about the Nintendo Game Boy.
Hey! I love it, Glenn. I absolutely love it, mate. Tell me why you chose this system as the console or handheld of the month.
Well, this was a very interesting kind of console, because it was. Alright, there was other handhelds before the Nintendo Game Boy, but the good thing about the Nintendo Game Boy is you could buy cartridges for it, like your home games console systems, and you could play games on the go, because you couldn't exactly take your NES and your game, well, NES and your Master System around, because they're just too big and they require television. But these were a fantastic idea at town. Small it down into a handheld device.
Do you remember how much they retailed when they first came out? Because I can't remember.
Oh God, I think the Game Boy was a bit over £100. I know it was the cheapest out of the main three systems. Now there was the Nintendo Game Boy, there was the Game Gear,
Which
and
was
there
by
was
Sega.
by Sega, yeah, and there was Atari Lynx. Now, out of these three systems, I'm really surprised the Game Boy won in the end, because the other two, power-wise and the buffer colour screens, they were more superior in the hardware.
So why do you think the Game Boy outsold and outplayed these things, and why everyone chose the Game Boy? Why do you think it was better than those two systems?
these three things: how much it cost to buy, number two, battery life, number three, games catalog, because the Lynx was a far more superior system when it came to its features and its power and what it's capable of. It even had 3D game on the
Like
it looked
stun
really
gun and
good.
hard driving.
Yeah, so it was capable of quite a lot, but the games catalog just stunk. That was a curse by Atari at the end of
And
its
it wasn't
days.
very portable though, when you think about it, because the Atari Lynx was pretty huge, actually, when you think about it. It was like a long thing.
It was huge, and it was quite expensive to make because of the screen. Because the main screen it had, that's what was good about the Nintendo Game Boy. It was a lot cheaper to make, so a lot more poorer families like mine at a time could afford to buy one.
That's right, yeah. I
So
mean,
that was
I
its
got
main
given one for
success.
Christmas.
Yeah, I got one for Christmas. I think I got Nigel Mansell Racing
But you know,
for
there's
it.
one thing that you forgot to mention, Glenn, another reason why it succeeded. And we talked about this briefly on another podcast, that the game did get bundled with Tetris.
It did. It did. Well, probably that's what I mean by the games catalogue. It had a lot of games to choose from. Last right until about, oh, until the Game Boy Color came out. And that was more or less the same as Game Boy, but with color.
But I think a lot of software companies actually supported it because it was probably easy to program for, and you know, it was just had so many companies like Konomice, all these other Japanese companies that just worked behind it, basically.
And Rare did a fantastic job with Donkey Kong Land.
I've not played that, Glenn. Is that any good on it?
But actually, for a Game Boy game, look, really, really good. It's almost as good as the Super Nintendo its own way. I'm not saying exactly like the Super Nintendo, but for Game Boy standard, it looks absolutely fantastic.
I don't know how they managed to squeeze all that. But again, I think by the time that game came out, Glenn, it was coming towards the end of the Game Boy's life. So by then, for a console, basically, it normally takes programmers a good 4 or 5 years to get the most out of a console. And I think by the time that game did come out, the programmers knew what they could get out of a system.
And Rare did a really good job out of that game.
What were your favourite sort of games for the Game Boy then? Because, you know, we were talking about the catalogue games. What were your favourite games on it?
Well, Donkey Kong Land has to be first.
Okay.
That is a must-get game. That was absolutely fantastic. Even the cartridge was yellow. I remember getting it in 1995 when it first released it. The cartridge itself was yellow.
All right, what was the next game then?
Oh, I liked Nigel Mansell Racing.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the last game we mentioned, Mario Land.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fantastic game for it. And I didn't actually have a lot of games on my Game Boy, but one of them I did have, and I'm not a wrestling person, I actually had a wrestling game for it.
Was it WWF Superstars? I think it was.
It could have been, but it did have Hulk Hogan in it.
Oh, yeah, it had Hulk Hogan, Mr. Perfect, the Macho Man. I mean, some of my favourite games, again, was definitely Super Mario Land. Pokemon, again, there was like another amazing franchise that just started off in the Game Boy.
When I was at school, when I was at school, I was in year 11 at the time, and these kids, year 7s, running around going, I got a Pikachu!
For me, it's slightly more embarrassing. I was doing security at the time, and I had a Game Boy, and basically I got Pokemon, and I used to play it at work when I used to do security, because I used to do night shifts, so just something to keep me sane and awake, I used to play it, and I used to collect all my Pokemon.
Catch you play it.
But you know the whole annoying thing about bloody Pokemon was, Glenn, that you only had one save slot, and then once my friend came round, and he could actually start his own game of Pokemon. I told him, whatever you do, do not save. And what did he end up doing?
He saved the bloody game.
He saved it, and it took away about 5 months of me powering up and leveling up all my Pokemon, because I didn't just have, like, just one of each Pokemon. I would have, like, hundreds of them at different levels, so that way I was always guaranteed to win in a Pokemon battle, and I was so upset with my friend, mate. I was so upset with him.
Well, back to the Game Boy, they actually made some other models of the Game Boy. They made the Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically the Game Boy with a color screen. And then they brought out Game Boy Advance. Now, that was a really good system. That was like the Super Nintendo.
You're absolutely right. You missed one Game Boy, though, Glenn. There was the Pocket Game Boy, which was like the same Game Boy, but smaller. I mean, because when you think about it now, because, I mean, I've got an original Game Boy now. Even though it was portable back then, if you look at it now, it doesn't really fit in your pocket because it is pretty big. So that's when they brought up the Pocket Game Boy, which was a slightly slimline version of it.
It's just say, if they brought up a mobile phone that big now, you get a laugh in the streets.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was portable.
No, it definitely was. It was the most portable handheld of its time, basically. But you know what? I think the Game Boy will definitely have to be my favourite handheld ever. It still is. I don't need a PSP. I don't need a DS. For me, I love my Game Boy because you've got games like Zelda and everything. It's an amazing little handheld. I love it to bits, mate.
It was amazing. And it does prove that you don't need a super powerful system to succeed in this business.
You're absolutely correct.
The Nintendo Game Boy, out of the lot, was just the weakest.
It was.
But it was just the support Nintendo got and the Nintendo themselves that mm-hmm. brought it through and made it such a big success for them.
I absolutely love it, mate. All right, so let's round up that little section, Glenn. I want to move on to my personal favourite section, and that section is the Quizmaster.
Oh no!
Right, Right, so are you ready for this thing, Glenn? Are you ready for the Quizmaster?
Well, I'll be ready as anything.
Right, so last time, you only got one question wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm the only one so far who to do the Quizmaster that's got 5 out of 5, so I'm the Quizmaster champion. So today, I'm going to be the Quizmaster, and I'm going to test you once again, Glenn.
Right, let's see if I can get 5 out of 5 this time.
All right, so for our listeners who haven't heard our quiz, basically the way it works is like multiple choice in the style of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So are you ready, Glenn?
Well, I'll be ready as anything. Come on, throw me the questions.
Right. What was the name of the girl who got kidnapped in Final Fight? Was it A, Jessica Rabbit, B, Jessica Hager, C, Jessica Fletcher, or D, Marion?
No idea.
Right, so would you want me to repeat them again?
Repeat them again will not make any difference.
Oh no, it might do if you hear the name. Okay, so I'll read the question again. What was the name of the girl who got kidnapped in Final Fight? Was it A, Jessica Rabbit, B, Jessica Hager, C, Jessica Fletcher, or D, Marion?
You know, everybody's going to laugh at me for this.
But I'll tell you what, Glenn, you can do this. You can go 50-50, or you don't want to use a lifeline.
Can I use 50-50?
Are you sure that's what you want to go for, yeah? You want to go 50-50?
I am sure, Mr. Tarrant.
Right, so basically, if you get it correct, you won't get a full point. You will only get half a point.
Well, half a point is better than none.
Yeah. All right, then. So, we're going to go 50-50. So, it's a choice between B, Jessica Hager, or D, Marion.
Oh, don't go for D.
Right, so you're going to go for D.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Well, I just go for it because I don't know.
Right, so you've chosen D. Right, moving on to the second question, Glenn. Which one of these was not a Codemaster game? A, Grand Prix Simulator. B, Beach Buggy Simulator. C, BMX Simulator. Or D, Pro Boxing Simulator.
Now, I know two of those are Codemaster games. I know two of them are Codemaster games because I played them.
Right, so which one isn't a Codemaster game, though, then, Glenn? Now, you got to think back, Glenn. Got to think back.
Think back?
Yep.
Go back in time, let me think.
What are you going to go for, Glenn? I can hear like your little brain working there. Little cogs working.
It's either Beach Buggy or Boxing.
Right, so which one are you going to go for, Glenn?
Either those two. So I have to guess because I can't remember.
All right, which one?
I'll go for the Boxing one.
You're going to go?
I remember them making boxing games.
All right, is that your final answer, Glenn?
My final answer
is
that's right.
Right, okay. Question number 3. Who composed the music for Last Ninja?
You mentioned this.
Right.
Some time ago.
Was it A, Ben Dugleish? B, Rob Hubbard? C, Lyndon Sharp? Or D, David Whittaker?
Now, Paul Dugleish has hit a bell.
There is no Paul Dugleish.
Well,
there's Ben Dugleish, but no
Ben. Ben Dugleish. Yeah. I remember the last name, Dugleish.
All right. Speaking about Dugleish, she's going to appear on our podcast at some point. All right. So who composed the music then, Glenn?
Dugleish.
You're going to go for Dugleish,
yes,
and that's your final.
Dugleish.
Right.
I go for that one.
Question number 4, then, Glenn. What was the name of the sumo in Bruce Lee on the Commodore 64? Was it A, Green Yamo, B, E Honda, C, Green Hornet, or D, Justin Bieber.
Can you repeat that?
All right, so what was the name of the sumo in the Commodore 64 game Bruce Lee? Was it A, Green Yamo, B, E Honda, C, Green Hornet, or D, Justin Bieber?
Now, I'm going to have a guess on this one, B.
You're going to go for B, E Honda?
Yeah.
Right, so let's put that down.
That sounds more like a sumo wrestler name.
Right. Now, final question. What was the cheat code to unlock everything in the Sega Master System game Wonder Boy 3 The Dragon's Trap? Did you have to type A, Fluffy, B, Special, C, Super Dude, or D, West 1?
I go for Super Dude.
And is that your final answer, Glenn?
That'll be my final answer because I have not done that. So I don't know.
So let's see how well you've done. Are you confident that you've done better than last time?
No, I've done worse than last time because I knew more of Mal's questions.
Right, so let's work our way through
them. I think I got one out of five.
We'll soon find out, mate. Right, so question one was, what was the name of the girl who got kidnapped in Final Fight? You said D, Marion.
Am I wrong?
Glenn? You were wrong.
Hey!
She was the girl who got kidnapped in Double Dragon. Marion was. The girl who got kidnapped in Final Fight was actually Jessica Hager. And you know why you should have guessed it? Because Hager is the wrestler, the mayor, who has to rescue her in Final Fight.
Oh, right.
Right, so far you've got one wrong. You've still got four more to try and redeem yourself, Glenn.
I don't think I'm going to do it.
So let me put this one down. You've got one wrong so far. Right. Second question was, which one of these was not a Codemaster game? Now, you said D, which was Pro Boxing Simulator.
I'm 50-50 on this one, Andy.
Right.
It was just a guess out of the beach buggy or...
So this was just a guess thing, Glenn?
That was a guess. I knew two of them are Codemaster games.
Right, so let me tell you, your guess was wrong.
Wrong, oh.
Actually, the game that wasn't a Codemaster game was B, Beach Buggy Simulator.
Yeah, it was either those two, because I knew BMX and the other one, I think it's the skiing one you mentioned?
No, Grand Prix Simulator.
Yeah, I know, I knew those two, Grand Prix whatever it is, Simulator, I knew that was a Codemaster game.
Right, mate. So far, you've got two wrong. Right. So you can still get three right. We'll see. You know,
if you get three right,
that still means you've done worse than last time because last time you got four right. So question number three was, who composed the music for Last Ninja? You said A, Ben Dudlish. Glenn, how confident are you?
Out of 100%? 20%.
Yeah. 20%? Now, was this a guess, or was this a little thing in your mind that you said, I think it is Dudlish?
Because I heard you said that some point.
Right. And are you Googling it now? Because I can hear you typing.
Not me, it's my watch.
Right, okay. So, Glenn, you know what? You are correct. Well done.
Oh, fantastic. I got one right. I'm not going to be the first host that's going to get naught.
Now that will probably be Tony because I'm going to give Tony some extra difficult questions.
Oh, thanks God for that.
I might give Swainy some ultra difficult questions as well. Right,
you're the quizmaster, gives ultra difficult questions.
Oh yeah. Now I thought I'd make them a little bit tougher. Last time when I did the quizmaster on milk, I made it too easy, but that was just an introduction. Right, so you've got one right so far. Question number four, Glenn, was, what was the name of the sumo in the Commodore 64 game, Bruce Lee?
That was a guess.
You guessed B, E Honda.
Is it wrong?
Glenn? What do you think?
I think you're going to say wrong.
You are wrong.
Hey!
And you know why you are wrong?
Why?
because which don't you know which game E Honda comes from? It's certainly not Bruce Lee.
I just guessed it.
E Honda was the fat sumo from Street Fighter 2.
All right. Oh. You see, like I said on a previous podcast, I don't remember names of characters very well.
Right.
Especially
okay.
Street Fighter 2.
So anyway, so it wasn't Green Hornet, it wasn't Justin Bieber, it was actually Green Yamo. So Glenn, you've got another one wrong, so you've only got one right.
Yeah.
Now, so far, this is the worst that anyone has done on the Quizmaster. Can you get this last one right? Okay, the final question was, what was the cheat code that you had to type in to get everything in Wonder Boy 3, the Dragon's Trap on the Sega Master System? You said it was C, Super Dude.
Was it wrong?
You were wrong, Glenn.
Well,
it was actually...
Well, at least I got one right.
Glenn.
That was diabolical, everybody.
It was. You should hang your head in shame, Glenn. Hang your head in shame. But fear not, next time we do the quiz, I'm going to make it ultra hard for Tony.
Make sure you make it ultra hard.
Yeah.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not the kind of person who remembers names of people in games. I'm very bad at that. I usually just... Do you know what I call the person off Street Fighter 2? That big fat one.
What?
We should call it the fat guy. It's all
the fat guy.
Fat guy.
Oh, Glenn. All right then, Glenn. So what is our next section then?
Well, I think our next section now is the... Is it the questions now?
Yeah, it's a Q&A section.
Q&A section.
Right, so Glenn, do you want to start off with the Q&A or shall I start off with the Q&A section?
Well, shall I start off?
Yeah, you go for it, mate.
T-E-O-L. And he's got quite a lot of questions, but I'll read the first one out for you.
Sure.
What game phase are you, annual about?
Anal about.
Anal about. For example, as you know already, mine is really...
Controversial.
Controversial.
Yeah.
The SNES, one is clearly says on the back of the console is that the SNES. So in my opinion, that's what it should be called. Although... there's an alternative on the back of the pad called the Super NES. Doesn't say Super NES, though. Lol.
So how is it you call it then, Glenn? That's what it's basically asking. Do you call it the SNES, the Super NES, the Super NES, Super NES? How do you call it?
Well, I call it the SNES.
You know what? I call it the Super NES.
Everybody else calls it the SNES. I just call it the SNES.
Yeah, no, I call it the Super NES because I think it's more of an American thing. The Americans normally call it the NES, whereas yeah. Here I think we call it the NES.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, yeah, you call it the SNES, I call it the Super NES.
Well, the Mega Drive doesn't have that kind of name, isn't it? Everybody calls it the Mega Drive or the Genesis.
Yeah.
No, there's no short name for the Mega Drive, isn't it?
Nah, there isn't. Okay, so let's move on to the next question then. So... here we go. Let me skip one of his questions, and I'll ask number three question of Teal. You put, if you had a lucky pair of pants to wear while gaming, what style would they be? Wife fronts, hipster pants, boxers, button boxers, swimming trunks, swimming shorts, Umbro colours too? What do you wear then?
What do I wear? Well, I usually wear, at the moment, I wear the ones that my girlfriend's got me.
From saying, Glenn, I thought you were going to say that you were wearing your girlfriend's one.
Oh, I don't wear knickers.
I'm
wearing the
saying.
Ones that my girlfriend's got me. It's got a massive bull at the front.
Right.
It's got a massive horn. It says Mr. Horn.
Now, me personally, sometimes I go commando because, you know, I prefer it. I've got a bit more freedom, you know. I wouldn't recommend going jogging if you haven't, you know, not wearing any sort of like pants because it hurts. So yeah, sometimes I wear boxers, sometimes I go commando.
Sometimes there might be ones for the wife.
Yeah. Oh, right. So Okay, here we go. What type of TV and inches do you use for your proper TV for your gaming experience? So, how big is your TV, Glenn?
My TV in my room is 32 inch.
I used to think my TV was 42, but I think I measured it recently and it's about 37.
Yeah. The one downstairs is 42.
Wow. But guess what I'm getting, Glenn? For Christmas, I'm getting myself a nice 60-inch TV. Woohoo! Finally
Ooh,
convinced the wife to do it.
3D.
3D and everything, mate, yeah.
Oh, get those glasses out.
Oh yeah, mate. Oh yeah. All right, so let's move on to Mel's question. You want to read the first one that he says?
What would be your dream job?
So what would be your dream job?
Winning the lottery.
That's not a job. That's not a job. That's a lifestyle. So honestly, if you could have any job, what would it be? Porn star, superhero, professional boxer, professional dancer, TV presenter? What would you do, Glenn?
My favorite job will be designing games.
Right. Wow, okay.
Oh, that'd be an ace job, isn't it? Can you imagine sitting down thinking, what kind of game should we make today?
Saying that, Glenn, that is something very similar that we're going to talk about our competition, but more on that a little bit later. My dream job would be a photographer for underwear models, female, not male. Yeah, that would be my, no, actually, my dream
What
job would
did you just
base,
say, male?
no, I said not male. Not male. No, actually, my dream job would be to basically, promote games for companies, travel around the world and sell people the ideas, I think conventions like E3, when people go up and present things, I'd love to be that guy that tells you what this game is all about, why this game is good, why you should get this game. That would be my dream job.
But would you like to design them though? Would you like to think, well, I like my game to be like this? And can you imagine it being like that? Can you imagine if you could do this and do that? I like to do that.
That does sound good, mate. I wouldn't mind giving it a go. Well, let's move on to his next question, which is, what is your favourite drink when you're gaming?
Favorite drink when I was gaming? Oh, I like lemonade
Right.
with ice.
That's cool, man. Refreshing. You want to know what I go for?
What do you go for, Andy?
Red Bull.
Red Bull. Oh, keep you
That's
awake.
it gives you wings.
It gives you wings, give you extra wings for extra buttons on your pad.
That's it, definitely. All right, his next question is there any movie that you thought would have made a great game?
You know what movies are like when they come from games? Usually rubbish. But I think what would have made an excellent game? Oh, that's a good one, Malk. That's a really good one.
So what would you go for then?
What'd I go for?
I'll tell you what I would like as a game. It's not a movie. Well, actually, there was a movie version of it. I would actually go for the Charlie Brown cartoons because I always used to like Charlie Brown, and there was a Charlie Brown cartoon that was made into a movie where he goes camping, and I would have loved a Charlie Brown cartoon be made into a game.
There will be an ace game, probably a Top Gear game, but that's
Oh,
not a film.
fantastic. Yeah, no, absolutely great choice, mate. That would be. Well, you get to control those three guys. I think that
But
would
you
be
get to control
amazing.
that. You've got to do a challenge, and you've got to beat James May or beat Jeremy Clarkson. No, it's not a
Yeah.
movie, but that would be an ace game, that.
That would be a great game. And you've got to try and make sure that you don't crash it like that other guy did when he was driving
Yeah.
it. All right, so he's got another question. Actually, you know what? Because we're running out a little bit out of time, we'll skip Mark's other question and we'll move on to Tony's question. And he asks, Glenn, how many different sound effects can you do in 2 minutes?
How many different sound effects can I do in 2 minutes?
Yeah.
What, do you want me to do it now on air?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, do it. Do it.
I think I have to do so many sound effects when we do the game reviews because I have then have the idea of what kind of game, what kind of sounds they have. Anyway, I've done some sound effects today. I've done the intro to Stunt Car
I
FX.
think that's what people love. People love your sound effects, Glenn. All right, so the next question is, and he asked me this, who would I pick, the Black Cat or Harley Quinn? Who would you go for, Glenn?
Harvey Quinn.
You know what?
Did I
send you the pictures that I took when I went to this convention? I had a picture of taken with a black cat and Harley Quinn.
And Harley Quinn, yeah.
And I think the reason why Tony's asking me this is because he knows that I got into trouble with my missus because I had photographs taken with these two lovely looking ladies. But you know what? My wife never listens to this podcast, so, and she, if she does, I'm so dead. I'm going to go for Harley Quinn as well.
Yeah. Especially on that Batman game, you know, on the Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Where honestly, she wears that mini skirt.
This girl, I don't think I sent you the picture. She looked just like a Glenn. Honestly, you would have liked it. You can understand why my wife got upset with me, though.
You're not exactly cheating, are you?
No, I wasn't. You know, it's not like I asked for a phone number and asked her to take her out. But anyway, we're going off subject. Let's move on to the next section, which is, you know, we're going to round it up now. Earlier on at the beginning of the podcast, we mentioned that there is a competition to win the Oliver Twins signed A4 photograph with a picture of both of them wearing Dizzy t-shirts, and it is actually signed by both of them.
Ooh.
So, shall I tell you how this is going to work?
How is this going to work, Andy? How can we win?
All right, so
the Oliver Twins signed by them.
Again, I'd just like to state that only the community or people from the internet or other people from YouTube can win this. The hosts of the podcast, like me, Tony, Glenn, Malk and Swaney, cannot enter this competition. It's only our listeners that can enter this competition. Right, so basically, now, you all know that I love my Dizzy games. So what I want you to do, I'm going to post a thread on the forum, and it's design your own Dizzy game. So you have to sort of like design your own cover. You can do it manually by using, you know, like a pen and then post it. It doesn't have to be amazing, or you can just use paint. And then you have to title it and sort of describe what the game is about. And then we're going to read out the winners on episode 18 of the podcast.
Ooh.
So, you know, you've still got loads of time to actually enter this competition. So you have to design your own Dizzy game, you know, the artwork, and tell us what sort of gameplay the game was about.
And does it have to be retro, or can it be really any kind of Dizzy? Can it even be modern 3D Dizzy?
It can do. I mean, again, you know, like all our entries are going to go into a hat, and then I'm going to sort of like, you know, shake the hat, put my hand in, and grab a winner, which I'll announce on episode 18. So, yeah.
And how do you enter it, Andy? How do you enter it? By email? Do you enter it by
post? Well, basically, I will create a thread on the forum, and on the thread on the forum, you basically put your picture, and then you also write your description of what the game is about. So by the time this podcast is out, you will see the thread. You probably go to the forum and you'll see it, you know, like win competition or something. You'll recognize it when you see it anyway. So yeah, guys, I can't wait to sort of like see your entries in this game. It should be fantastic. And you win that wonderful signed autograph by the Oliver Twins. All right. So the next section, Glenn, is the iTunes reviews.
Oh, the iTunes reviews. Have we got any nice reviews?
Yeah,
this week?
We've got a total of 15 reviews now.
Oh.
Now, it's a 5-star review. It's by Lafarius from YouTube. And he's also got his own website called Nesbit.com, I believe it's called. And it's like a site dedicated to the 8-bit NES. So if you love the 8-bit NES, check his site out. You know, he's a great guy. Check out his videos on YouTube. Again, he's got some amazing stuff, so check that out. And he gave us this wonderful review. 5 stars, it says, great show with some fantastic guests. So thank you very much, Lafarius. I appreciate
that. Thank you very much. I'm very pleased that everyone enjoys our podcast.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Glenn, we always need more iTunes reviews because that gets us noticed a little bit more. And yeah, at the moment, we are the second highest rated retro gaming podcast on iTunes. There's another podcast, which I don't want to name them because they're our competition, and they've got 16 iTunes reviews, and we've got 15. So if everyone on the site can give us an iTunes reviews, we will soon be the number one retro gaming podcast on iTunes. And that's like, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Well, everybody, if you haven't given us an iTunes review yet and you like this podcast very much, then pay a visit to iTunes and say what you like about it.
Right. So, again, I want to quickly mention the retro meetup, Glenn, which you correctly said it's on the 21st of August. Basically, if you can make it, that would be fantastic, and it'll be a great way of getting to know like the community and getting to know everyone else. And we can just sit around, talk about sort of like retro gaming, have a few beers, have a laugh, be silly, and just talk about the good old days, basically.
And was it fantastic last time? You know, we've done all sorts of stuff. We went to play Daytona, where we went round, and we even looked at some games that were going to come out.
That's it. We're actually, what's it called, Glenn, as well? I'm going to put something up on the forum about this as well. So keep an eye out for it. And if you can make it on the 21st of August, definitely check it out and give us a visit. Right. Anything else you want to mention, Glenn?
Well, what I'd like to mention is thank you for your support, everybody. I'm very, very grateful and very, very honoured to be doing this podcast. And this is such a great community. And I'm very appreciate being part of it.
That's really nice of you, mate. All right, so you can do the big special thank yous to our team members, Glenn, and tell them what are our YouTube channels.
Well, I'm Glenn83100.
Yep.
There is Malk 1976.
I thought you were going to get it wrong to wind them up. Yep.
Have we got that one wrong? There's ZX Spectster.
Yep.
And I always forget yours.
Well, I'm Locomaniacs 1HMPS, and I tell you who we can't forget. We can't forget Swainy,
which is Swainy
101. And again, I'd like to thank the community. I'd like to thank all the listeners. And yeah, hope you enjoyed the show. See you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. And we will see you on the next podcast. I'm gonna read your question out. All right, guys and girls, is that time again?
That's not a question. That's just all like...
Right. I thought that was you.
No, that bit there is basically me telling people to ask the questions.
Right. Well, Andy, cut that out.
No, I'll keep it on. I'll put it on the outtakes.
In fact, cut the whole questions out. Okay.
Right. So,
okay, it's Mount's questions. Start again.
This is a DJ Shadows production.
That wasn't made into a game.
Yeah.
So it's got to not have been a game, obviously.
Exactly. We've got to hurry up, though, because we've got about 10 minutes before we run out over an hour.
Do you know, I don't know. All right. You're going to have to pause this, Andy, because I'm going to run out of battery power. So skip this part out.
Don't pause, though, Glenn, because it's harder to edit.
Yeah, I just put the power plug in, so you could just edit that part out.
Yeah.
There we go. It's just if I will leave it on any longer, it will just run out of power and the whole thing will switch off.
No problem, Glenn. All right, so
okay.
We'll move on to the next question, which was asked by Tony, aka ZX Spectstar. Right, Glenn, we can press stop.